inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
My guest on the podcast today lives in an area where it's very difficult to buy rental properties. The price of real estate is really expensive. Property taxes are really high. And the local government isn't a big fan of rental properties, so they make it difficult to be a landlord. A lot of people might just give up and say, it's not possible, you can't do this here. But my guest today knew it was possible, and he knew that he could figure out a way to make it work, and that's exactly what he's done. He's found a way to get around those roadblocks, and he's put together a nice portfolio of cash-flowing rental properties. So on the podcast today, we're going to talk to him. We're going to figure out exactly how he has done what he's done. So let's take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll meet Michael Pinter from Long Island, New York. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Having to evict a tenant is painful. The best way to protect yourself from evictions is to screen tenants, and the best way that I know of to screen tenants is TransUnion Smart Move. It's a really valuable online screening tool delivering credit, eviction, and background reports in minutes. And their proprietary tenant credit check predicts evictions 15% better than generic credit scores. See why over 4 million landlords have used SmartMove to make better leasing decisions. Use code RENTAL25 at checkout to save 25% at tenantscreening.com. That's code RENTAL25. At tenantscreening.com. To start things off, why don't we talk about why you buy rentals? What's your goal, or what are you trying to accomplish with your rental properties?
So the goal for rentals, I think, is what everybody's looking for, which is, you know, passive income.
Okay.
Enough passive income that you don't have to do any work.
And yeah.
I guess that's like an end game goal for us.
Okay, awesome. Now, you live in an area where it's kind of hard to get passive income. The properties are really expensive and the taxes are really high. Has that been a challenge when you're looking for rental properties?
Yeah. So the biggest challenge when it comes to looking for rental properties is that most single family homes in the entire Long Island, which is almost 3 million people, most single family homes will not cash flow positive with any kind of debt service due to the price for the house and the taxes and how much rental income you can expect. So that's the biggest challenge. So it really only works for multifamilies for us, two units or more.
Okay.
So it's hard. It's not easy. And in general, the larger multifamily properties are going for incredibly low cap rates in this area also. So
right.
We're talking about people expecting a 5 or 6 cap rate. And thinking that's good.
That's interesting. Okay, so the single families don't work, but a multifamily will work. Are there a lot of like smaller multifamilies in your area?
No, there aren't. Like the two to fours are limited, very limited. Most of the there's a tremendous amount of different municipalities here. So within Nassau County, there are 3 towns and like 10 villages. Within Suffolk County, there are multiple towns most of these municipalities hate rentals.
Yeah.
They abhor them. They look at them as something that taxes the system, traffic-wise, services-wise, like sewage. So they don't want you to build rentals, and they don't really like multifamilies at all. They like single families because those are taxpayers, and those are the people, those are their constituents. But
right.
they don't like renters or rentals.
Right. Yeah, I guess kind of going along with that, New York isn't known for being the most landlord-friendly state. Is that another challenge as far as do they have a lot of permits you need to get, or if you're trying to do an eviction, is it hard to get somebody out of the property?
Yeah. So New York City is the worst for that. For obvious reasons, but in our areas in Nassau County, it's a little better. but it still takes a while.
Okay.
And the permitting process is nightmarish in all areas, where there's just so much bureaucracy and redundancy, and but you can't even get, even if we could find land to build rentals, the general consensus with most municipalities is we don't. Why? Right. Why are we going to want you to build rentals here and have people who are taking away from the services and aren't really homeowners?
Right.
The general consensus is rentals are bad. You can get them done, but most of them are done by large developers who have a lot of political connections, and the process still takes many years.
So, I mean, I think that this is actually a good lesson, and I'm glad we're talking to you today, because it's not easy. It's challenging. You've got high prices. You've got high taxes. You've got a lot of government regulation that's making it harder. But you've been able to make it work, right? I mean, you've got rental properties, and you've been able to figure out how to work through the system.
So we have some rentals, but we don't have a lot. Mm-hmm. And we don't really focus on it. Our focus more is on single families, and we wholesale them to other investors. We wholesale them out to retail buyers, or we actually rehab them to retail buyers. In the back of our minds, we want to increase our rental portfolio.
So do you look at the flipping and the wholesaling? That's more of almost like a job. That's how you're putting food on the table, and then the rentals are more of how you're building long-term wealth?
Correct.
Okay, awesome. Well, let's talk about your portfolio. Tell me about the rentals that you've been able to buy.
So we have a 7-unit property that is very rare in this city that we have. It's a city where there's a lot of cities in Nassau right now that where there's an insatiable demand for rentals. Mm-hmm. This city is one of them. And we bought it. It was in horrible shape, had terrible tenants. And we did a long renovation on the property, and it's cash flowing very well now.
Awesome.
And then we have two other 3-family properties.
How did you find the properties?
So ironically, the large property was just available on LoopNet, or maybe it was multiple listing service, but we found it there. And the other properties we got through our standard marketing. So we spend a lot of money on marketing to find motivated sellers that want to sell us properties at a discount. And those two we found, I think one was a cold call and one was a mailer. But we do a lot of active marketing every month.
Yeah. You know, I think that really works great with your other business of flipping houses, because you're looking for deals. So I imagine you're probably going to stumble on deals that maybe wouldn't necessarily work as a flip, or maybe a property that's a really good deal that you want to keep as a rental. So is that kind of how you're thinking you're going to grow things from here?
So yeah, I mean, as I think about all the many years that we let a lot of properties that would have been great rentals go, and we didn't really focus on it because we sort of looked at it as a flip or a wholesale. It didn't work that way, but we now our eyes are more open to rental possibilities. So
yeah,
we do get situations like that.
Right. Well, let's talk some more about the 7-unit property. I'm curious to hear some more about that. So that you said this property was in pretty bad shape when you bought it. Like what needed to be done to it?
There were literally holes in the roof. I mean, one of the apartments on the top floor had a garbage can underneath.
Oh my God.
Whenever it rained, there'd be water coming through. The tenants were terrible. They were all, Section 8 tenants who, you know, had all kinds of issues. We offered all the tenants money to leave. Some took the money, some didn't. We had to evict some of them. It was a lengthy, difficult process to get everybody out, and then more lengthy and difficult process to do the renovations.
Yeah. So you're giving them money to leave. That's so that you don't have to go through the eviction process. You're just giving them money.
Yeah.
We're
constantly buying occupied properties all the time. Mm-hmm. And our first attempt is always to try and come to an amicable solution with the tenant and offer them money to go. That's always our first try.
So how do they take it? Like when you offer them money, do they kind of believe you
A majority won't even contact us. They won't. It's difficult to get in touch with them. But we try as hard as we can. But some do. And then it's a negotiation on exactly how much we're going to pay them. But so it's different every time. But I would say a majority of people do not accept it and just want to, you know, go through the legal system.
How are you trying to reach them? Like, do you put a notice on the door or do you mail something?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'll put notices on the door. We'll mail them. I'll put notices on their car. We're pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
I'll leave my card in the doorway so that when it opens, we're extremely aggressive in trying to get in touch with them. Yeah. Try to get that initial contact.
And then what are you targeting to pay them to get them out of the property? Like, what's your first offer?
Well, it really varies. It varies on as to whether we know what the condition is inside, whether we know what's going on. We sort of do an estimate on what it will cost to do an eviction and what our holding costs are, and we offer them something a little less than that. We figure the evictions here usually take about 3-4 months, so we're just trying to figure what our costs would be. Yeah. We offer them a little bit less than that to leave in the next 30 days, and then less than that if they leave in 60 days.
So yeah.
We have an offer sheet that we give them.
And do you put conditions on it that, like, the property has to be clean when they leave?
No.
Okay, you just want them out. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So,
we always assume the worst.
Yeah. So, all right. You've got the property. So, do you get everybody out of the property before you start any work, or are you starting work?
Well, it depends. In this property, we started doing the work on some other units, and then the tenant that was in eviction was literally screaming out of the windows at us and our contractor that she was calling cops and she was calling town. I mean, we weren't doing anything wrong.
Right.
We didn't have a permit yet, but all we were doing was cleaning stuff out. So that, I mean, the contractor sort of got used to the tenants yelling at them.
Yeah.
We had to wait till we got the permits to do the real work.
So was it a huge job? I mean, it sounds like you probably had to replace the roof and needed a ton of work in the units.
The flat roof, it was super expensive. The roof was the first thing we did was the roof, obviously. And it was a huge job. It was hundreds of thousands of them.
Wow. How long did it take before you had everything done and you were able to start marketing?
About a year.
Oh, wow. Year. Okay. Wow. So when you have a year where you're not making any money, I mean, you've still got your mortgage payment. I mean, that's a huge.
By the way, the taxes on that property are $40,000 a year.
Wow. That's insane. All right. So
taxes on families are crazy high.
Yeah. Wow. So then when you got it fixed up, you got it turned around, was it easy to rent? Did you find tenants pretty easily?
Yeah.
Okay.
Incredibly fast.
Yeah. How do you market?
I to be honest, all we use is Craigslist.
Okay. You just put it up on Craigslist. People start contacting you. You show them the property. 100. Awesome.
There's a huge demand for rental still in this area. So
yeah,
Craigslist works, and anything that's new and nice, you know, goes super fast.
Okay. And then as far as the daily management, are you managing it yourself or do you have a property management company?
We actually self-manage.
Okay. Okay. How has that been? Have you had any challenges or has it been pretty?
There are some, but we have pretty good crew that we use for our flipping business. So if things need to be fixed, I have good people to call that can get there quickly. Yeah. And it hasn't been terrible. We have pretty good tenants. We have a pretty good screening process. I think we have very, very good tenants.
Now, you said that there were Section 8 tenants in there before. Did you get new Section 8 tenants or do you have regular cash paying tenants?
We didn't have Section 8 tenants until recently. And one of the units went vacant and we actually put a Section 8 tenant in there because we thought she was really good.
Yeah.
Our experience, I mean, I've had rentals for a while, since 2004.
Mm-hmm.
My experience in that there are very good Section 8 tenants and there are bad Section 8 tenants, but overall, Section 8 tenants in general usually are more problematic than non-Section 8 tenants. So our first goal was to not give any Section 8, to get any Section 8 tenants, but we do have one tenant there that is Section 8.
Okay.
Also, our Section 8 maximum rent you could charge Section 8 is not as high as we really can get for most of our units. So if we go Section 8, we're giving away a little bit of rent.
Really? Okay. That's interesting. Because in a lot of areas, it's the reverse where the Section 8 pays a little bit more. But wow. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Some places Section 8 is harder. But they haven't adjusted Section 8 maximum rents in our area in many, many years. And the rents really have gone up.
Yeah. Okay. And then the other thing too, so with having multi-units, the 7 unit and then the 3 units, a lot of times you have to kind of manage the relationships between the tenants. Has that come up? Yes. Have you?
Comes up all the time, and I am always struggling as to what I should do. Tenant downstairs is claiming the tenant upstairs is making too much noise.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, it's the most difficult situation as to how to handle it, because sometimes by getting involved, you make things worse.
Right. Right.
And, often I'll tell them that I spoke to them, and then I won't actually speak to them, and then the situation will resolve itself.
Right. Yeah. So they think you have done something.
They have to feel like you care, and you do care, and you wish you could make their problem go away. But usually, by doing that, you're causing a problem for somebody else. Right. And then sometimes the other tenant feels like, why didn't they come to me? Why'd they go to the landlord? So it's not a simple situation.
Right. Right. How about like checking on the property, like to make sure that there's not a lot of trash outside. Like, do you swing by the property every now and then?
I go there all the time just to collect rent. I wish I got my rent all in the same time, but I'm going to collect rent a few times a month. So I'm there. It's close to my office, and I'm there, you know, probably four times
a month. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the other three units. So were they in similar condition when you bought them, where they needed a lot of work?
No, they were in pretty good condition. They were almost rentable when we bought them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. So the person was selling the property, and were there tenants in there when you bought it?
I think one of them had tenants and one of them didn't.
You know, and something else too, back to the seven unit for a minute. Why do you think that the old owner let it deteriorate to that point where?
I don't know. I actually sort of know the guy peripherally. Yeah. I don't know, but I think it's in an area that's a very misunderstood area. A lot of people think it's sort of slums.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it hasn't been, I've owned property in that area since 2004. So I've always approached it as this is an area that's improving. It's seen as a move up area for people in like cruddier areas. And, if you approach it as this is a slum, and I'm going to just get the crappiest, any Section 8 tenant that comes in, gets in there. I mean, these people were using drugs and selling drugs, and it was, you know, bad things going on in the building. So I think he approached it like that.
Yeah.
He probably thought that was what it was going to be. And he got bad tenants, and they gave him a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And then he was still getting checks from Section 8. So he didn't really do much to it. I'm not sure what his mindset was, but
yeah.
We did not approach it that like that at all. We thought this we can get great tenants in here. We can charge more rent. And that's how we approached it.
Yeah. I mean, the way you're doing it just makes so much sense. When you have a nicer place, you're going to attract a better quality tenant. They're going to stay. They're going to give you less hassle. And then also you're keeping the neighborhood nicer. So, you know, hopefully that encourages other people to keep up their properties. So
this whole area, the city's called Elmont.
Uh-huh.
And they announced recently that the Islanders, the hockey team, they're building a stadium in the Belmont Park, where they run the Belmont Stakes, is there. And they're building a stadium there, and for the first time they're putting in a Long Island Railroad station there.
Okay.
So this area is really improved lately, and but there's still this perception for people that they think of it as a bad area.
Yeah.
But I've always felt like it's an improving area.
Yeah. Now the other thing that you're doing to connect with other local investors and hopefully find some business is you've started a local real estate investing association club. Tell me about your club and what you're doing.
We actually have a meeting tonight. We didn't really have any hopes of getting anything back, but in 7 months we got a deal from it. Someone had a deal that he didn't even know if it was a deal. We helped him with it, and a couple of days ago we actually wholesaled the deal to somebody from the club. So
that's awesome.
It's been great for us. But we've always approach is just, you know, give and then good things will come back.
Yeah.
But our approach has always been to just give.
If you're in the Long Island area and you want to check out Michael's group, I've got a link to his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode246. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you are looking to buy a rental property, whether you're just getting started or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge. She's a nationwide lender, and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. What I love about Chailey is that she's more of an educator than she is a salesperson, and she'll really take the time to help you put a plan together and figure out where it is that you want to go with your investing, and she'll help you get there. She's really awesome. I definitely recommend you reach out to her. If you want to find out more, just go to her website. It's ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe. We've got new interviews every single Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.